Okay, we're going to give you a medication to put you to sleep. Just let yourself go. You want to count backwards from 100?
At the New York Psychiatric Institute in Manhattan, a middle-aged woman lies on a procedure table. A small team of doctors, nurses, and technicians wires her head for a brief dose of electricity.
Treatment with ECT is much simpler than people may appreciate.
One of the world's experts on ECT, Dr. Harold Sackheim, leads the team.
Basically, you are put to sleep with an anesthetic medication that will typically last for maybe 5 minutes being asleep. Your body is protected from any violent activity by being given a medication to relax your muscles. And then an electrical stimulus is applied to the scalp, and that stimulus will trigger a seizure.
That is the electrical stimulus now being given. That's it. It was only a 2.5 second duration.
It's not the seizure itself that Sackheim is after. It's what happens next. The brain's response to the seizure, its recovery process, is what seems to affect the mood circuitry involved in depression. Studies show about 70% of people with drug-resistant depression experience a total remission of their illness after ECT.
ECT, without any question about it within the scientific community, is our most effective antidepressant treatment. Nothing comes close to ECT.
But there are limits to ECT. First, there's the strong social stigma about electroshock therapy, the sense that it's a brutal procedure. ECT can also cause varying degrees of memory loss, generally mild, but sometimes severe. And you don't get better with one treatment. It usually takes up to a dozen. Finally, the effects of ECT eventually wear off. So researchers are looking for other ways to treat depression with electricity.
Yeah, we could do that. You can move the foot up.
A 40-year-old patient named Martha climbs into a soft blue chair at the New York Psychiatric Institute. She tilts her head back until it rests in a kind of cradle. A powerful electromagnet is set against the side of Martha's skull like an ice pack. The machine crackles as it beams magnetic pulses into Martha's head.
A tapping. It's a tapping feeling.
Inside Martha's brain, the magnetic pulse induces a tiny electrical current. That current seems to change the way Martha's brain circuits communicate. Martha says the magnetic therapy lifts her depression, something years of taking antidepressants did not.
It never took the heaviness off of me, never took the sadness away, never brighten things up.
Researchers say magnetic pulse therapy may be an alternative to ECT for people with intractable depression because early studies show no serious side effects, especially no memory loss. Psychiatrist Sarah Lissenby says magnetic stimulation can be more focused and less intense than with electrical shock.
When electricity is administered, the skull acts as an insulator, making it harder for the electricity to get through, and this gives you less control over where the electricity is going. With magnetic fields, that's not an issue, so you can more precisely deliver the stimulation to the area of the brain that you're trying to focus on.
Scientists are focusing on how nerve cells in the brain, called neurons, communicate with each other through tiny electrical signals. Depression may be caused by those signals getting garbled. Researcher Sarah Lissenby says the magnetic pulse can be used to speed up or slow down parts of the brain where the beam is focused.
And if we have an idea about what areas of the brain are underactive or overactive, then the theory is that you could go in and treat that circuit and help the person recover from their depression.
During the study, Martha came to Dr. Lissenby's lab every day for magnetic stimulation. After 2 weeks, Martha started to feel her mood lift.
It's such a tremendous difference in so short a period of time compared to being on the medication for such a long time.
Researchers say it's too soon to know how long the apparent benefits of magnetic brain stimulation will last, or if there are long-term side effects. Like electroconvulsive therapy, the effects may wear off over time.
So what they're doing now is just putting those leads on her neck, and we'll be able to tell when the device is on or not.
In Charleston, South Carolina, researchers are testing a much different way to use electricity for depression. It is April of 2002, and a smartly dressed 48-year-old woman we'll call Brenda is about to get a brain scan.
I have a nice diagnosis, major chronic recurring depression and seasonal affective disorder, treatment resistant.
That means resistant to antidepressants. Brenda has tried many.
It's very frustrating, and it's also very dangerous, because the more medications you're on and the more you develop a resistance to, and the longer it goes on, the more death will tell you, I'm the only way out. I'm the only one that can stop your pain.
Brenda tried to kill herself several times. She was so sick, her doctor suggested ECT, but that didn't work for her.
I woke up with the most indescribably terrible headaches, and also was very disoriented, and disoriented weeks later.
So here she is at the Medical University of South Carolina trying an experimental therapy.
Is that what it's doing, Dr. George? Y'all turn it completely off before the scan?
No, we're resetting it in the combination.
Psychiatrist Mark George is leading the study. He's interested in how electrical charges can stimulate the region of the brain called the limbic system, which helps control mood and emotions. Depressed patients in the study have a device like a cardiac pacemaker implanted in their chest.
And instead of hooking it into the heart, you hook it into a nerve in the neck called the vagus nerve, which goes right into this limbic system in the brain. And it was discovered that stimulation of that nerve can stop seizures.
Vagus nerve stimulation has been used since 1997 to reduce seizures in people with epilepsy. Doctors also noticed that seizure patients who had depression felt their moods improve with the pacemaker, even if their seizures did not. So researchers started experimenting with VNS for the treatment of depression. Last fall, 29 months after we first met, Brenda still had the pacemaker wired to her vagus nerve.
I've had the two best years of my life, and I'm not going to be one of those people who say, this is the panacea, your life is perfect afterwards. But I have gradually gotten better and better and more stable. If I do get depressed, I don't get nearly as depressed as I did for the last 20 years. And I haven't had to go to the hospital. And I very rarely have to see my family psychiatrist anymore. I do go for the checkups for the VNS. But basically, my regular psychiatrist just continues to refill my medications because I just don't need to go in and talk with him.
While vagus nerve stimulation works for Brenda, it's too soon to say how effective it will be for others. Early research suggests about 30% of people using VNS felt their mood substantially improved after using the device for a year. So far, the main side effect is a tingling in the throat and a tightening of the voice when the pacemaker sets off its periodic electrical charge. Earlier this month, the Food and Drug Administration gave conditional approval for the use of VNS as a treatment for depression. It may be years before magnetic pulse therapy is cleared for regular use. For NPR News and American Radio Works, I'm Stephen Smith.